So I'd like to welcome you all to the podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and I'm joined once more by friend of the show, Dr. Avijit Barai. Avijit is a fellow of the College of Urgent Care and also the Australasian College of Emergency Medicine, and he currently works down in Christchurch. Avijit, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a great to be here again.
Now, in your previous chats with us, we've more or less focused on ECG-related problems, and we're going a little bit different today. Today, we're going to talk about sternoclavicular joint disruption, which kind of encompasses the dislocations and the subluxations and the sprains all in one. Now, acromioclavicular joint injuries are very common in New Zealand, and we see a lot of those through urgent care, and they're relatively straightforward to manage. I think I've seen a couple of sternoclavicular joint injuries in urgent care, so they do come through us, particularly in the rugby season, but they're not as common, and so they're certainly worth talking about and thinking about how they happen and what we need to do about them and what we need to know about them. So let's start with just saying, well, what is a sternoclavicular joint disruption, and why is it that it's important that we know about it from an urgent care perspective?
So thank you for the question. So to start with, the sternoclavicular joint, as you have rightly mentioned, it's not that common. But again, as I say frequently, that if the mind does not know, the eyes cannot see. So we need to keep an open mind about this not very common condition. The problem with this type of condition is that if it is missed, then that can cause significant morbidity, even mortality. So we need to be very careful. We need to know what it is, and we need to know how to manage it as well. In urgent care setting and also in emergency medicine, we don't see sternoclavicular joint disruption that often, but if we have got a good understanding, next time we may pick it up quite early. So what is a sternoclavicular joint at first? So sternoclavicular joint is a joint, is a saddle type of synovial joint between the medial end of the clavicle and the manubrium sternae. This is a joint which is stabilized by the ligaments, like anterior and posterior sternoclavicular ligaments, and there is a cartilage inside the joint. It is a very stable joint, which means that it needs a lot of force to cause any subluxation or dislocation. So by the time there is a subluxation or dislocation of the sternoclavicular joint, probably the patient has got some other injuries. We need to think about that as well. Now, there are two types of this joint, dislocation or subluxation. Obviously, the medial end of the clavicle that can be disrupted anteriorly, that is the anterior subluxation or dislocation, and the posterior dislocation or subluxation, which is less common, but that is more damaging because of the various structures that can be damaged in the posterior aspect of the mediastinum. So let me start with a case that I have recently seen. 16-year-old boy who was playing rugby and was tackled, coming with pain in the left side of the neck and left side of the chest. So on clinical examination, initially, it was not very obvious what is wrong. Clinically, I thought that probably this is the clavicle which is fractured. He was in a lot of pain that I need to give quite a bit of opioids. Did the clavicle x-ray, which was fine. I could not see any obvious fracture or dislocation. But the patient was also complaining of some shortness of breath, and he did not have any obvious stridor, but he felt that there is some pain in the neck. And on further examination, I noticed that there is quite a bit of tenderness over the sternoclavicular joint on the left side. So I did a CT scan, and in our hospital, the CT scan is in the ED, so it's very easy to get the CT scan done if we are concerned about the patient. And CT scan showed that there was a posterior dislocation of the left sternoclavicular joint. The medial end of the clavicle is pushing that left common carotid artery and subclavian artery. And also the trachea was shifted to the right. That is quite a concerning thing. And so we have consulted the cardiothoracic surgeon and the orthopedic surgeon, and the patient was taken to the theater for an operation, and he did very well. So I thought that I'll share my experience with the audience in the urgent care so that they are aware of this particular condition. As I've said, that the anterior dislocation that is more common, usually the patients present with a bit of bump on the level of the sternocubicular joint. It can cause a bit of disfigurement, but other than pain and discomfort, usually it does not cause much problem. Most of the time we can treat it conservatively. But the posterior one, the posterior dislocation or subluxation, that is something we are worried about, because that can cause significant amount of injury to the trachea, the common carotid artery on the left side, brachiocephalic artery on the right side, the brachiocephalic veins, and the subclavian artery on the left side. So that can cause neurovascular damage. That can cause a life-threatening problem. So we need to be very careful about that.
And that case you presented there is quite typical here in New Zealand, where rugby is huge. And we are likely to see that mechanism of injury walking into an urgent care clinic on a Saturday because of the amount of rugby that's played. But what other mechanisms of injury might cause a sternoclavicular joint injury? What other presentations might we see?
So mostly this is the high impact injury. If there's a tackle from behind the shoulder, that is posterior dislocation, and if there is tackle from front, that is anterior dislocation. So usually we find it in high impact sports like in rugby, but also it can happen in case of the playing soccer or football. If there is any tackle, if the patient has got a fall on the shoulder, that can cause this type of problem. Very rarely, it can be atraumatic as well, which occurs especially in the patients with some joint instability. Again, the anterior dislocation or subluxation can be found if the patient has got a lifting arm, like heavy or extreme abduction of the shoulder. So these are the main injuries. So high impact injury like soccer, rugby, fall on the shoulder, abduction of the shoulder, and rarely that can be atraumatic as well.
And you mentioned there that this chap had pain and swelling, and it was complaining of difficulty breathing because of that deviation of the trachea. And what are the main symptoms? Is it mainly pain and the clinical finding of swelling over that joint, or do they ever present with neurovascular symptoms in the arm? Or can you list us the sort of the clinical picture that we might see?
So the common symptom obviously is the pain, and they will say, usually they will point to the collarbone or the clavicle. They may have some associated features. For example, they can have dysphagia, that is difficulty in swallowing if the esophagus is compromised. They can have dysphonia or difficulty in speaking, dyspnea if the trachea is compromised. If the patient has got associated pneumothorax, they can have quite a bit of shortness of breath or dyspnea. They can have distal neurovascular status compromised, like reduced pulse or absent pulse. Very rare, but it can happen. If the artery is compromised, if the vein is compromised, then they can have venous congestion. So the arm can be swollen. If the common carotid artery is compromised, then that can cause some focal neurological deficit as well. So it looks like it is a very simple injury, but actually it can be a life-threatening or limb-threatening problem. They can have multiple different presentations. In my patient, they presented with pain in the neck, pain in the left side of the chest, and shortness of breath and some difficulty in breathing. His main symptom was not the pain in the left sternocubicular joint area. His pain was in the neck and left side of the chest. When I examined clinically, I thought that there may be some fracture of the first and second ribs and costal cartilages. He might have a pneumothorax. That was my main worry. I did not think about sternocubicular joint, because at the level of the sternocubicular joint, there was not much deformity at all. It was not swollen. It was not bruised. The skin was intact, but it was tender.
And so obviously, if anybody presented to urgent care with any of those symptoms you've just listed, other than the pain, we should be referring them up to the emergency department via an ambulance. And if we see somebody in that condition, however, if somebody was to present with just pain following a rugby tackle at that area and was otherwise quite stable and didn't have any of those more concerning airway symptoms or breathing difficulties, we might consider to do some form of investigation. And in urgent care, we have access to x-rays. So that would probably be the first thing you'd think of. Are they useful in this setting?
Absolutely. I think the first investigation that we do in the emergency department and urgent care setting as well will be just a plain x-ray. We can do some clavicle x-ray views. If there is an obvious fracture, like the medial end of the clavicle fracture, we can pick it up with a simple x-ray. The specific view that we can request is the serendipity view. So basically, the x-ray is taken around 40 degrees angle, and that can show if there is any obvious disruption of the sternocleavicular joint. For example, if there is anterior dislocation or subluxation, the medial end of the clavicle is found above the contralateral side. And if the medial end of the clavicle is below the contralateral clavicle, that is posterior dislocation or subluxation. So this is a special view that we can consider, that is the serendipity view. The other thing that I find quite useful in urgent care setting is to use the bedside ultrasound or the point of care ultrasound if the clinician is comfortable, competent, and accredited. For example, I myself has got CCPU from ASUM or Australasian Society of Ultrasound in Medicine for musculoskeletal ultrasound. And I do quite a few ultrasound in different modalities, and one of them is a musculoskeletal ultrasound. So in musculoskeletal ultrasound, we can pick up if there is an obvious fracture, dislocation, subluxation. An X-ray cannot pick it up, especially if there is some subtle subluxation. But with the bedside ultrasound, we can pick it up quite well. In the hospital where I'm working at this moment, I am a little spoiled because we have got our in-house CT scan, which is in the ED. So we don't have to go through that in a complicated way. I can just talk to the radiologist or radiology registrar and arrange an CT scan. That is what I have done in my case. And that picked up quite well. In case of the urgent care setting though, I believe that arranging a CT scan may be a little challenging, but I'll still suggest that if you have got any concern about this sternoclavicular joint dislocation or subluxation, which is not picked up in the X-ray, epi view, and serendipity view, then, and also with the ultrasound, then next step will be to do the CT scan, and please refer the patient to the orthopedics or even to the emergency department to add in some further scanning like a CT scan.
So definitely something for the POCUS, another reason to consider getting skilled in POCUS in urgent care, and that it can help to answer that question there. Although CT is the gold standard, and you rightly say we don't have ready access to that in urgent care. And so either speaking with our emergency medicine colleagues or orthopedics is going to be necessary if the diagnosis is in doubt. And you've mentioned the emergency management of your chap who had the posterior dislocation, in that he required emergency surgery to reduce that. But what about the anterior dislocation that you're happy with in an urgent care setting, is neurovascularly stable, has no airway issues, the x-rays confirm it or the ultrasound confirms it for you? These should have orthopedic input as well, or at least consultation at some point. Is that right?
I would suggest even if it is anterior subluxation or dislocation, which is less than 3 weeks, so basically acute presentation or subacute presentation, they should have a good follow-up with the orthopedic specialists. It depends on the availability. I know that many of the urgent care settings, they have got their own orthopedic fracture clinics. They can get follow-up by the on-site orthopedic fracture clinic. But many of the places where they don't have availability, I would suggest get a referral to the fracture clinic in the nearest hospital where the orthopedic consultants can review these patients. The main problem in these cases is not the diagnosis, but the long-term management of those patients. Many of them will need some physiotherapy. Initially, we can treat them with some painkillers, a sling like a collar cup sling or a shoulder immobilizer sling. And in the long term, they will need some physio. At the same context, I would say if there is atraumatic subluxation anterior, or if there's a chronic anterior dislocation more than 3 weeks, they can be treated conservatively. Again, it depends on what the patient prefers. If they are happy with the conservative management with some physio analgesia, then that's absolutely fine. But from my experience, I would suggest an orthopedic input may be really, really helpful. In case of posterior dislocation or subluxation, I'll have a very low threshold to get the orthopedics or the cardiothoracic surgeons involved. Ideally, the posterior dislocation subluxation that should be managed by the cardiothoracic surgery unit. For some reason in my hospital, this is not dealt with cardiothoracic surgeons. It is dealt with by the orthopedic surgeons. So look at the local protocol, and you can ring the cardiothoracic surgeons or the orthopedic surgeons to see what they prefer. And accordingly, we can manage this patient. So this will be a shared decision-making process. It is not only by the urgent care clinicians to take the decision. We need to get involved cardiothoracic surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, physiotherapists, and of course, the patient and the relatives.
So yeah, like you say, shared decision-making, and it's important for us to be thinking of this injury. So if you've had a patient with the right mechanism of injury, you carefully examine that shoulder and or the shoulder girdle and all the way up to the sternoclavicular joint. And if there's pain, swelling, discomfort, or any of those other symptoms you mentioned that could imply either any airway or neurovascular injury, then our index of suspicion has to be very high. And we refer, usually I would guess the emergency department would be the first port of call, because CT imaging is going to be required, but you're going to be touching base with orthopedics or cardiothoracics, whichever you have available. But I think our priority is to think of the injury and to assess for that severity of the injury, and to arrange appropriate follow-up in the cases where it could be either a sprain or an anterior dislocation without any significant complications. But as with a lot of the things that we've talked about with you, Avijit, on the podcast, it's about thinking. And if you don't think of it, you'll not diagnose it. You've got to make the time to think of the problem before you'll ever find it. So it's got to be on our radar in any shoulder injury, particularly during the rugby season. Do you have anything further that you could guide us towards? Any references or resources that people can take this a little further?
Absolutely, yeah. So there are quite a few resources out there that the clinicians who are interested about this topic can look into. One of the website is OrthoBullets. I'm sure many of the registrars and the fellows look at this website. They have got one particular topic on sternoclavicular joint dislocation. They have got a lot of images, including the X-rays. You can go through them. Radiopedia has got one article on anatomy of the sternoclavicular joint and few articles on the X-rays and CT scan. I think that is a great resource. It's absolutely free. There are quite a few articles. One of the articles that I found quite useful was an article by Morell. You can just Google sternoclavicular joint dislocation and its management, a review of the literature by Morell. They have got a detailed description on the basis of the contemporaneous medical literature on sternoclavicular joint dislocation, subluxation, how to diagnose it, how to manage it. And I think that is a really good article to go through. In the YouTube channel, I have got a couple of videos on the sternoclavicular joint. I'll send you a link. I have uploaded some anatomy pictures. I have uploaded some animations, some X-rays, and CT scan to demonstrate the severity of this injury, and also to make the viewers have a good understanding and easy understanding of this topic. And I'm pretty sure the viewers will be benefited by going through that as well.
Excellent. So we'll put all of those links in the show notes. And as I said, if as long as people are thinking of this diagnosis and consulting with that shared decision-making team of emergency department, orthopaedic surgeon and cardiothoracic team, we'll make sure we don't miss this and also don't lead to any of the longer term complications, the chronic pain, the arthritis, and certainly don't miss any of the more significant immediate problems, the airway and neurovascular problems. So thank you as always, Avijit, for bringing this to our attention and going through what we need to be thinking of from that urgent care perspective, and for providing us with those links that everybody should follow up. And I'm sure we will be speaking again with you in the future. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure as always. And yeah, if someone have any questions about this topic, please get in touch, and I'm happy to answer to any questions you have with regards to this topic. Thank you. See you later.